It's time for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani. And if you are watching on YouTube or EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook page, you will see a little bit different background behind Debbie than normally you would see when you're at home. Hey, Deb, welcome.
Hi, yes, it's not my home office. It is Sacred Heart Radio in Seattle. We're having the first day of the Spring Share-a-thon, and phones are ringing, Jerry, and that's
great.
A good sign. That means folks care about their Catholic radio station. So it is pledge drive season. That's when your local Catholic radio station maybe comes to you and asks you to financially support. Please remember your station. You're helping to support your local listening area. And please don't forget EWTN, who brings all the great programs to all of these stations. So as you can hear in my voice, Jerry, I'm excited, because when you hit the ground running and you're making the goals right at the very beginning of the first hours of the Share-a-thon, doesn't get any better than that.
That's right. Yeah, and really, folks, think about this. I'm going to make a tie-in to today's topic, which is love. What is the true, authentic meaning of love? When you give to EWTN, when you give to your local Catholic radio station, you are helping to provide spiritual food, nourishment, maybe even a conversion, possibly an eternity in heaven for someone else, those who listen. So it is a great act of charity, a great act of love. And today, Debbie, that's our topic. We want to hear from our listeners and have a conversation about what love is and how the world kind of understands that and how we should try to understand that.
When I was driving to the station this morning, Jerry, there was, and I don't, you know how we don't believe in accidents, and it is just, it was just so appropriate for today's topic. We're talking about what is really a look at love, L-O-V-E. What does it mean to you to love? You know, everybody has a different interpretation of it. Is it feelings? Is it a choice? Is it, you know, what is love to you, and what does that mean? Well, as I was driving to the station this morning, Jerry, the car in front of me had a bumper sticker. And you tell me this, Jerry, that this was definitely no accident. The bumper sticker said, "Love God, love people, love the world."
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, okay, Lord, I get it.
Yeah.
It's really, but it's so true. But we have to love God first. I mean, we're created to know, love, and serve God. So God first, and then, of course, people, because of the people of God, and then the world, God's creation. I agree with that, Jerry. I think it's very simple, but very, very profound.
Yeah, and there's also self-love in there somewhere. I'd love to hear from anyone who has a little bit of, maybe you have a difficulty understanding or applying self-love to your life. Maybe you're thinking, well, I shouldn't love myself. That's kind of prideful, isn't it? Well, in Matthew 22:40, remember Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Debbie, I would argue, before we can even love others, we have to know who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, and have a proper, healthy love of self.
I couldn't agree more, Jerry, because it's really difficult to give away what you don't have. I mean, you have to give from your excess, and that includes the idea of having a healthy sense of self-love, because when you care about yourself, you're willing to give that also away. You care about others, and you can really help others. So I think there's a real connection here, Jerry, and I'd love to hear what our listeners have to say about this. Give us your definition of love, what it means. Some people say, you know, you have to include tough love, because telling the truth in all things and helping people get back on track, that's a really strong sense of love. So here's the number. 1-833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Jerry, you could hear me stumble because I almost gave out the pledge drive phone number.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're talking about love today. What is love? I remember the 1984 song by Foreigner, "I Want to Know What Love Is." And Debbie, I think we've got a world that really is kind of groping to find out and to really discover what true love really is. And you know, if you have any thoughts on that, maybe call in right now, 833-288-EWTN. We've got a world that kind of looks at things that are not good, not healthy, not moral, and they will call that love. You know, so many people think, Debbie, in today's world, that really you've got to be able to do anything you want to do, and you can't really speak out against anything anybody else is doing, because that wouldn't be love, you know? And actually, what does St. Paul says? He says, speak the truth in love.
Right.
So how do we do that? Yeah, how do we do that?
This is an interesting topic, and we really want to tap into your wisdom, your understanding of love, so that we can get a better idea of how to look at it. So when we walk away from this time together with this great conversation, we're a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God, better understanding of ourselves and the world around us. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. When we come back, we're going right to the phones.
A Lenten Reflection with Father Dominic Legg.
Repent and believe in the gospel. This is a kind of tagline for the season of Lent when we focus on our need for God's mercy and forgiveness. Of course, all of us have sinned, and we all need to turn to God with repentance. And the best way to do that is to take advantage of the sacrament of confession. Jesus himself instituted this sacrament as the normal way for us to have our sins forgiven after baptism. And so when we fall, it's important to turn back to that great gift that we receive in the priest's absolution. Don't let this Lent pass you by without receiving that gift. When you make a good confession, the guilt of your sins is completely taken away, and God gives to you a new gift of his love, the gift of divine charity by which you love God and your neighbor. What a great gift. Receive it this Lent.
EWTN's National Catholic Register is America's most trusted Catholic news source. Try 6 free issues with our compliments. If you like it, you can subscribe later at a 35% savings off the newsstand price. Visit ncregister.com today.
Mother Angelica.
We have to get back into our hearts and minds the value of life. If you don't care about the unborn, I don't think you're going to care about the elderly.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Good to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Thanks, as always, to Rich, Matt, Jeff, and everybody else who helps out with the show on the EWTN end of things, our affiliates for carrying the program, and you for listening and participating at 1-833-288-EWTN, talking about love, the meaning of love, different understandings of love, and what true love really means to you. And maybe you've come to a deeper and more thorough understanding of that as your life has gone on. 833-288-EWTN. We're going to begin with Michelle in New Bedford, Massachusetts, listening on Radio Core Maria. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Michelle?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I wasn't really sure how to answer the question because I had two things going on in my head, what love is and what love isn't. And in the beginning of the program, both of you were touching on things that I was thinking before the call. So I'm like, well, I think you pretty much answered, Debbie and Jerry pretty much answered all those things I was going to say. But I mean, of course, I'll still touch on it. But I, if it's okay, I want to say what love is and then what love isn't.
Sure.
So to me, love is God giving his son to us is love. And giving our life back to him is our response to his love. That's what love is to me. Because we can't love without God. I mean, we have an imitation of love floating everywhere in this world. You know, and all its different variants, but it's not a real love because imitation love always has angles, agendas, motivation. There's always strings attached. There's always, self-motives attached to the love that the world gives us. Because when I was in my kitchen the other day doing the dishes, God was telling me that the world does not love us. The world hates us, you know, and this is you know, a lot of times we think, oh, you know, because I'm famous or everybody knows me or I'm very successful or I'm very popular or I'm so loved, I'm so important. But the truth is the world does not love us because this world belongs to the fallen angels and Satan, and this world does not love us. Everything that the world offers us is a trap, and that includes imitation love. It all is a trap. Whereas the only true love that exists is of God. And what he gave to us, his only son, is the true definition of love. And how we respond to that gift is our love given back to him. Because the Bible says many try to enter, thieves and wolves, they try to enter, but they can't get in. And that's the same with love. You know, people who want to sleep with you before marriage, they'll tell you they love you, they don't love you. Because if they love you, they will look after your spiritual soul. And, I mean, I can go on, and I don't want to hog up the conversation.
Right.
But as I get older, I see so many false claims of love, and it's all lies. You know, Satan can come like an angel of light. If the only true love is God, and anybody who loves is of God. And that's all I had to add to it.
Michelle, I just wanted to say that you're similar to Mike on YouTube, who weighed in and said, if you really want to know what love is, just take a look at the crucifix. And it's exactly what you're talking about, that amazing, incredible, eternal gift that God gave us. And I would agree with you that just by our own fallen nature, that the world promises things that are not going to bring us great eternal rewards. They're going to bring us maybe instant gratification. They're going to feed into our selfish desires. They're going to also fuel our pride. But the things of God are the things of love. That's why God is love. And it doesn't say God is sometimes love. God is most of the time love. It says God is love. And Michelle, I agree with you. Jerry, what do you think?
Well, I was going to go where you just went. That is where, you know, in the scripture it says God is love. And you, like you said, Debbie, not God is sometimes love, but it also doesn't say God loves. I mean, God does love, because John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But in that one passage, it basically says this is who God is. This is his essence. So it's not so much an action on the part of God, but it is his essentially who and what he is love. So I would say any proper understanding and expression of love must be with God's love as a frame of reference. So, yeah, I think, Michelle, you're really right on. And, of course, looking at Jesus and the great gift that he is from the Father to us, that is love. And love must, by its essence, have the good of another in mind, or it's not really authentic love. And what is more sacrificial and self-giving than the passion of Jesus on the cross? So
that's true.
Yeah,
very. Yeah, we're glad you were first up, Michelle. Thank you so much getting us off strong in Massachusetts. God bless you for that. Thank you. Call again anytime. We'd love to have your call, and have a beautiful rest of your day. Okay, Margaret in Houston, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Thank you. Hi, Jerry and Debbie. So
hi.
Thanks for addressing this topic, because I feel like y'all do, that love is so misunderstood in our society today. So, and Jerry, you just kind of touched on this just now. I've heard two different definitions of love. And the first is that love is willing the good of the other for the other. And the second is the Bible's definition of married love, and that is that our marriages and our love in our marriages is to mirror Christ's love for his church. And so I've had a chance to reflect about this and what it means most recently in my life, and that is that, you know, Christ's love for us is eternal, and it was long-suffering to the point of death, and that he is faithful in his love for us, even when we are not faithful to him. And I think that's the key in our marriage, that, and I've been blessed with three different women in my life who have reflected that type of love in their marriages, and most recently with one of my very best friends who has suffered through three long years of infidelity in her marriage. But, you know, like Christ, she has been faithful to her love for her husband through those years in spite of his infidelity to her. And she's told him that she will never give up on him, and she will honor her marriage vows unto death. because Christ never gives up on us, and she has vowed to never give up on him. So in spite of what the world is telling her, that she should just abandon her marriage, she is remaining true to her marriage covenant, and is just a beautiful witness to the world of what true married love is. So I just wanted to be a witness to all your listeners of what God intends for our marriages, and that sometimes that calls, that means that we have to suffer in our marriages, and that love is suffering.
Well, Margaret, you make some great points, and I would say I would wholeheartedly echo what you're saying, and that is, I think within the institution of marriage, the beautiful relationship that it is between husband and wife, it is going to necessarily involve moments of difficulty and trial and so forth. This is extreme, of course, with her husband being unfaithful, and I'm just talking about day-to-day things, but it is really, Debbie, as you know, I have not been married, but you are, and it really is a giving of oneself to one's spouse. That's what the church calls for, a total self-gift. That's why something like artificial contraception, you know, is really holding back part of yourself and not giving yourself completely to the other. So, and as Margaret is pointing out, Debbie, marriage does mirror the relationship between Jesus and the church, because what do mm-hmm. we call the church? The bride of Christ. You know,
bride
Jesus
of Christ,
is the bridegroom. Yeah. So beautiful stuff that Margaret's sharing.
I think it's huge what you're saying, Margaret, because if we could just get especially young folks preparing for marriage this better understanding, the way you just so eloquently stated, if we could get them to understand that the depth of it, the lifetime commitment of it, the mission of it, we would be better off. We'd have less you know, divorces, and I, because we know that divorce just has a horrible ripple effect on the family. We know that. I lived through it. I know it. But, you know, I pray, Margaret, that many souls have listened to your call today, because it can really help. And thank you so very much for being prompted by the Spirit and calling in. Because so many folks say after the show, when they email us, Jerry, they'll say, I wanted to call in, but I was too late. But Margaret, you weren't. So that was great. And it was no accident that you called in and shared your wonderful call today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Margaret. Indeed. 833-288-3986. Your understanding of love. Share some wisdom with us. We learn from you, and we all learn from one another as well here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Washington, D.C. is where we're going to go next, and Eileen listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Eileen. Welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm here.
Yeah, go. How are you, Eileen?
Hi, I'm here. I'm sorry. Yeah. So earlier in the program, I guess, and I hear this so often, that we have to love ourselves before we can love our neighbor. And you know, I for one, you know, spent many years sitting on the green carpet in the self-help section of Barnes & Noble. And I think a really, really big problem that we have in our society today is we have a lot of depressed people who think unless they learn to love themselves, that they've got nothing to give. And I tell you, from the laboratory of my own life, it's only by forcing ourselves to get out into the nursing homes and to give of ourselves, to act Christ-like, that the esteem and the self-worth and any value whatsoever comes into our spirit. I think...
Well, yeah. Eileen...
So I think, yeah...
Right. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, because I agree with you. And I chuckled when you talked about the self-help section, because I myself have been there many, many times. And it's probably the most frequented area of the bookstores is the self-help section. But at the beginning of the show, I think we should have stressed it maybe a little bit better. We talked about a healthy sense of self-respect and love, in this, not necessarily that you know, need to have that first before you go out there and serve the world, but it does help, like Scripture tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. So it does help in the essence of being of service to others. I agree with you that when you're in service and you get out there in the world, you tend to grow in your own understanding of what life's purpose is and everything. But I will say this, I had a fabulous, fabulous priest mentor who was also a social worker. Before he was a priest. And he shared with me about this idea of a figurative cup. And he used to say to me all the time, Debbie, you cannot give from your reserve. Because if you give from your reserve, eventually it'll chip away at yourself. You have to give from your excess. So you have to fill your cup. And in filling your cup, that's a sense of healthy love. And you give of your excess. So he said that very clearly. And he used to go teach all around the country about this. And people just understood it. So I hope that kind of clarifies where our come from is. What do you think? Is that better clarify it? I'm not talking about a selfish a sense of love. I'm talking about just a healthy look at oneself before we go out into the world. What do you think?
Yeah, Deb, we have a really broken culture out here, and most people are spent and they're depressed and they're angry and they have no idea why. And the concept of a healthy idea of self is really, it's intangible, and I think that people need a place to start. Our society, granted, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, even the pastoral ministry, I mean, we're working on, you know, everybody's trying to fix the self, you know, and trying to fix the brokenness and working on the issues. And I just, you know, and I hate to say it, but this is coming more out of, you know, the Protestant evangelizing than I hear it out of us Catholics. And maybe, you know, maybe we need to recognize more the scripture that states we're a new creation in Christ. And stop trying to work on the old and fix the old and the brokenness and focusing on, oh, I don't like myself, you know, and all of that hum, drum, glum. Okay, get it. Guess what? You died in Christ. And all those old issues did too. So I think that a lot of times the love that people are looking for, or the value or the self-worth, or just the sense of, you know, okay, you know, I'm equal to the other Christians that are sitting next to me in Mass, you know. Where do they get that from? Because until they get that, they are of no use to the church or of God, because they're just, you know, staring at the floor and kicking dirt. So where do we get that from? You know, where do we get that healthy sense of self? And I think so often, like scriptures, it's the simple things. It's the simple things, like just helping another human being. It doesn't really matter how you feel about yourself today. It just doesn't, because the Holy Spirit and your sense of value will come through. The Lord will touch your heart and begin to heal you, but not before you stop focusing on you and your brokenness. And I just think that so many dollars are wasted on so many, you know, couch talks of how do you feel about that? Who cares how we feel about that? Our feelings are broken. You know, I swear, I really believe that if every person out there who thinks, you know, that life is horrible and they just have no idea who they are in Christ, visit a nursing home once a week for an hour. Make it the same nursing home so you see the same people. And that brokenness will heal. It will heal. And then all of a sudden, then that's where we build the reservoir that flows over. But of ourselves, we can't do that. And I think that the first step is always, it's outside of ourselves. It's not in ourselves.
Well,
can't be found.
I just want to offer a thought or two here, because I'm soaking in everything that you were saying, and I thank you so much for calling, and you've really helped to kind of flesh this out for us. As Debbie said, you know, hopefully we made the point that we were talking about a healthy self-love, but I agree with you. We actually help to find our own dignity and worth in coming out of ourselves, like you're saying, Eileen, and I think that is so important. That's one thing that our culture is missing so very, very much right now. We are also, so many people are, you know, like you said, turned in on themselves and so concerned about their own wounds and woe is me and all of this stuff. And if we, when we turn that around and we go visit the people in the nursing homes and the prisons and the hospitals and serve the poor and so forth, then we see the dignity that they have. And then I think that that helps our own dignity and worth come out in a healthy, positive way. So everything that you're saying, Eileen, I think is right on. And Debbie, it's just a fantastic contribution to our discussion here, I believe.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Eileen, I love your perspective on this. And I just thank you again. I just want to echo what Jerry said. Thank you again for helping to shape the conversation. This is what Take Two is all about. We have these conversations that we can't really have at our workplaces or even in our schools or even in our communities. So we can have them here right now and we can grow and learn. And thanks to you, Eileen, we're growing and learning. So we appreciate that so very, very much. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And we're talking about L-O-V-E. What's your definition of love today on Take Two? You got to call in though. Eileen's going to free up a line right now at 833-288-3986. We'll be right back.
This is a Lenten Journey with Timothy Cardinal Dolan on EWTN Radio.
Everybody who commits a sin is a slave. That's what Jesus tells us in the Gospel for this Wednesday, the fifth week of Lent. Now, we better hear that because you know what the world tells us? To sin, to do whatever we want, whenever we want, wherever we want, with whomever we want, to be able to sin, that's freedom. Jesus says, no, that's slavery, all right? True freedom comes in doing what God wants us to do. To sin is slavery to our drives, our urges, our appetites. Not to sin is freedom from those selfish desires. Did anybody say it better than St. John Paul II? Freedom is not the ability to do whatever we want, but the choice to do what we ought.
A Lenten Journey with Timothy Cardinal Dolan is available on DVD through the EWTN Religious Catalog. This DVD includes all 47 segments for each day of Lent, from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. To get your copy, log on to our website, EWTNReligiousCatalog.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Third Millennium Media presents Debbie Giorgiani.
The world tells us not to be merciful, and we as Catholic Christians are called to take a step back and look at it in a different way. We must practice mercy, especially if we want to receive mercy.
Debbie Giorgiani, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, wants to visit your parish, retreat, or conference. Invite Debbie Giorgiani today online at thirdmillenniummedia.com.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Later today on Catholic Answers Live, the chaplain is in. Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain, will be taking questions of a pastoral nature. After that, Steve Ray will be in to ask, are you born again? Catholic Answers Live, 6 p.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now back to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
I'm going to get right back to your calls. A discussion of love today. L-O-V-E on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for your patience, Madison. And then we're going to get to Joe and Dan right after that. And then Ray. Madison is in Augusta, Georgia, listening on St. Paul Radio. Hi, Madison. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Welcome back
Hi.
To the show.
How are you guys?
Good.
How are you?
How are you and baby doing?
Baby and I are doing great. 20 weeks. My husband's home from the deployment too. Praise God.
Nice.
Things are going really great.
Awesome.
I heard you guys on the radio today and I was like, I need to call in. This reminds me of this great quote that my husband and I love. It's by G.K. Chesterton. And It says, the Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also love our enemies, probably because they're generally the same people. And exactly.
Oh my goodness, that's great.
So, and it's, you know, it's something we tell people all the time, maybe not in perfect quotation, but because love isn't always easy. You know, it's It's something that you have to work at every day, and you're called to love people that aren't always easy to love, especially people like our own family members. You know, it's, well, I may not like you right now, but I always love you.
Right, right.
And
that's very
that can
true.
Be, whether it's your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, you know, we always love them and want what's best for them and are always trying to help them, you know, get to heaven. But that love isn't always easy.
Wow, Madison, that's very true. Madison, by the way, was on our Stand Tall, our recent Stand Tall retreat. So that's how come we know her, and we've and developed a friendship, and it's been wonderful. Madison, though, talking about loving those that are can be really quite difficult. Do you have any? I'm just curious. Do you have any practical tools to do that? I mean, because we all have our own kind of process, but I'd love to hear yours.
For me, I guess it's just, I try and live my life with just a lot of joy and trying to be that joy to other people, regardless of whether I like them or not. And just, I guess, trying to be that joy and that light of Christ in my own life and show other people that is the way that I try and love others, because it keeps me from being nasty towards them, I guess.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I love that. Well, I just wrote that down. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I think what the point Madison is making is another thing. When I made notes for the show today, I put down, you know, we don't necessarily have to quote like everybody, but we're called to love everybody. And as Madison pointed out, you know, seek the good of others, you know, even those who are maybe difficult to love at times. So there is definitely a difference. We have to have that love, see other people through the eyes of God, through the eyes of Jesus, and their worth and their dignity, and love everybody. The mass murderer, the terrorist, the school shooter. We have to love all of these people. Doesn't mean we have to like them, have them over for dinner, spend time with them. I mean, look at Jesus, you know. You could see that, you know, he overturned the tables in the temple and with the religious leaders, you know. He wasn't necessarily rubbing elbows with them on a daily basis. I mean, he came in contact with them, but he had harsh words for them. But he died. He died for them, just like everybody else, you know. So, Madison, I think you're making
some
great
points.
Well,
and even the people he surrounded himself with, too, like the tax collectors and those who were kind of on the fringes in a lot of ways. And you even think of St. Paul, who, you know, is not necessarily somebody who all Christians maybe would have liked.
Yeah, took the church a while to kind of warm up to Paul after all that he had done. Yeah, so
right,
Debbie,
right?
Yeah,
no,
and then you think of, you know, you love people. Eventually, you will like them in a lot of ways. Not maybe everyone, but if you have enough love for a person, that like may also come too.
See, this goes back when you were just saying, Madison, what you were sharing, and then Jerry was sharing about, you know, we're not called to like those who do, you know, really horrible things, but we're called to love them. This reminds me again of the same priest who, he just was filled with wisdom. And he used to say that that's why you have to look at the soul. You have to get past the human exterior and focus on the soul. And when you do that, then you're viewing it similar to the way God views it. And so it's very, very interesting. What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, good stuff. And Madison, before you go, and I have a note for you here. We just got an email from Allison, who was on the Stand Tall retreat. She says, "Hi to Madison from Stand Tall, 3!! Blessings to her and her family. Happy baby coming." So Allison is tuned in and sends her greetings to you today, Madison.
Aww. Thank you, Allison.
Sweet? That is so sweet. Thanks, Madison, for making this a better program.
Jerry. Thanks, Debbie.
All right,
thank you.
You'll remain in our prayers. Keep us posted. All right.
Yeah, we love you too, Madison. Thank you.
All right, over to Joe in Dearborn, Michigan. He has us on Ave Maria Radio. Joe, this is Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie, and your take is next. Hi, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Great, Joe. So happy that you called.
Good. Hey, my comments are very short. I just want to say, to me, love is the only thing that could fill the gaping hole inside of everybody. Right at the very core of your chest, there's a gaping hole. Everybody's got it. And you look all over to try to fill it with something, that's probably half the problem with the world today. They don't know what to fill it with. The only thing to fill that hole is love. And I don't think any human being can fill that for you. To me, people look to their spouse. I think a spouse can complete you, but they cannot completely fulfill you. It's only God's love that can fill that hole. The best a spouse can do is to join you and go with you and help bring you to God, to Christ, to God's love, to find it. I think that would strengthen any marriage, and I think so to me, that's at the core of it all. That's what it is.
So,
it'll fill you up.
Right.
And so that's
Joe,
all I have to say. That's
okay, but Joe, yeah. Real quickly before you go, because you've been waiting so long, and by the way, let me look. Yes, Joe, you got our Patience Award, our virtual Patience Award, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's a coveted award, so yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Anyway, Joe, here's the thing. What you just said, you came to it all as you were speaking, which I think was great. You said the gaping hole can only be filled with love. Well, we know love is God, so it's safe to say, Joe, I would think, the way we can fill that gaping hole is with God. Just like St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Okay, it's God that brings forth the sense of love. And so it's very interesting when you just said that, Joe, because and even when go back to Eileen's call when she was sharing about self-love and self-respect and stuff, it's very interesting because we do have to fill ourselves with God's love in order to be like Matthew Kelly would say, the best version of ourselves. Would you agree with that, Joe and Jerry?
Certainly.
Yes. Yeah. I think that your friends could be an avenue of God's love to you. But yes, I agree with you. I agree. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you. Not many people agree with me, Joe, but thank you. No, I'm teasing. Thank you, Joe. God bless you. Jerry, what do you think? I think what Joe had to offer was fabulous.
Yeah, just another great contribution. And see, we're what I love, again, we always say this about the Take Two listening family, is when we put a topic out here, we know, Debbie, you and I know going into the show, we're going to get people coming from a lot of different angles and perspectives and takes, and I think by the end of the show, it's really this well-rounded discussion, and I come away having learned and been edified each and every day by the contributions of those of you who are listening, so... Mm-hmm. Really appreciate it.
I would agree with you. I view it like a tapestry, Jerry. It comes all together and it forms this beautiful picture of all of us together, learning together. And I think that's what the early Christians did, when they got together and they really were on that journey together. And that's what we're doing on Take Two. So thank you for that. Thanks, Joe. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day in Michigan.
All right, Dan has also been very patient on the line, driving through Ohio, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry and Deb. How are you doing today?
Doing all right, Dan.
How are you?
Oh, good. The reason I called is not so much to give you a definition for love, but more focus on the word itself. I think our English language doesn't do justice to the word love because it's so ambiguous. People love their dog, they love their food, they love their spouse, they love God, it just goes on and on and on. They make love. I mean, and so when you're talking love, it's really difficult sometimes to determine where people are really coming from and what aspect they really mean. From the conversations that I've heard on the radio while waiting, from the Greeks had like 5 or 6 different words for love, and if you're talking loving your neighbor, that may be philia, or if you love yourself, maybe philetia, or agape. For us, it's so confusing sometimes. I know with my children who are adults now, I used to get angry because they go, oh, I really love this, and I keep saying, well, how can you love that? That person or that thing cannot, or that object cannot love you back. Don't you mean like, or don't you mean you appreciate, or something else? So that's my comment.
Well, I think it's a fantastic contribution to the discussion here, because what it makes me think about right away is the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to Peter. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, Dan, as you know, and Debbie, and then after the resurrection, Jesus appears to them, and he asks Peter 3 times kind of to wipe away or undo the threefold denial. he asks him three times, do you love me? And again, like you said, Dan, in the English, we read that passage and we kind of scratch our heads and say, you know, Jesus, you know, chill out here. You know, he already said he loves you. And Jesus pressed him again a second time and a third time. The thing is, if you get behind the English, Debbie says, Steve Ray so eloquently explained to us at the place in the Holy Land where this took place, Jesus is using, I believe it's agape, you know, do you have this deep love, total love, self-giving love for me? And Peter's reply is always, you know, more of the filio, you know, more of the friendship love. And so finally, the third time, right. Jesus comes down to Peter's level. And instead of saying agape, Jesus says, do you phileo or philia me, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what got Peter upset, because Jesus, you know, basically gave in to him, Debbie, you know? Mm-hmm. Jesus was trying to, you know, draw out of Peter, do you have this total unconditional love for me? And Peter's, you know, a little more reserved. So Jesus says, okay, I'll accept you right where you are. I think it's a beautiful passage. But anyway, Debbie, Dan's point is a great one. The language thing here is key.
I couldn't agree more. I was so glad that someone picked up on this and to explain it. And you did, Dan. And I really thank you for that, because I think our English general language for love, it doesn't do it good justice, because I've had it actually happen to me. I tend to use the word love a lot. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed it yet on Take Two. Now you're all going to notice it. But I do, because that's the feeling that I feel when I get really super joyful about something, or I feel very connected to something. I choose the word love because it's deep inside of me. But Dan, I've actually had people say to me, Debbie, don't you mean like, not love? Isn't love a little too strong for saying that you love what that person just said? But not for me. For me, it is. It like to me would seem like I'm kind of talking it down. So it's very interesting what you're saying, Dan, and I think it does help to understand where people's come from are on the word love. So I appreciate that contribution. What do you think, Dan? Am I kind of giving an example to what you're saying?
Yes, you are. And I'm glad that someone else kind of thinks the same way I do.
Well, we are glad that you called, Dan. Thank you so much. We appreciate you participating in Take Two with Jerry and Debbie as we talk about love, the meaning of love. How do we love? How do we love God? How do we love others? How do we love ourselves properly and in a healthy way? And before we go to the next call, I just want to mention, you know, as everybody knows, obviously EWTN is a full daily lineup of programming. And I just want to draw your attention to Open Line, because Debbie, one of our favorite people, mm-hmm. Father Mitch Pacwa,
yes.
hosts Open Line on Wednesdays. And it's heard every day, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and a replay at 10 p.m. Each day it's a different host. And today it's Father Mitch Pacwa. So folks, tune in. Get your faith questions answered, and you talk about somebody who knows Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew.
Yeah. He's always correcting me.
Yeah, so if you ever have a question about the Bible languages, Father Mitch is the one to call.
He's
Wednesdays
awesome.
At 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern time.
I learned so much from Father Mitch. In fact, I actually, we were on Catholic Answers Live recently, Jerry, and I think I quoted Father Mitch a couple times. That's how much you learned from him. He's an amazing priest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ray in San Antonio, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Ray. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great, Ray. How are you?
Oh, I'm driving along in a beautiful day here in the San Antonio area in the Hill Country, and listening to your show, and wanted to call in and share a little bit about what I believe true love is. There have been a lot of callers that I've been listening to, and so many thoughts have been going through my mind. I will share my original thought, but I'm going to try to integrate some of the things that have already been said. With regard to the symbolism of God's love for us in the crucifix, that's a self-giving love or selfless love. And one person called in and said that, you know, you need, or you mentioned about a priest that said you need to look at the person's soul and love them and love their soul. You know, we, as created in the image of God, were created with a soul, and it's true love. If it's really true love, you love with your soul, the soul of others. And the soul has, you know, faculties. It has the will and the intellect. And one of the things that I read once that true love is willing the good of the other. And to me, that speaks to a love that Dan was describing, more agape, if you will. Loving with the soul, loving with the will, that aspect of the soul that you want to will the good of the other. And I will add, necessarily sometimes at the expense of the self. You know, and it brings together in my mind, you know, the selflessness of true love and the self-giving that Pope John Paul talks about with regard to marital love, the gift of self that happens in the conjugal act, and true love in that marriage is the full gift of self. And so I wanted to share that aspect of it. And one other thing, if I may put in a plug, you know, my wife and I do marriage preparation for engaged couples at our church. You had mentioned that it was important that we would try to share some of this with newly engaged couples of what true love really is. And a program that we use is called the Beloved Program, and it is excellent at helping prepare these young couples in an understanding of self-sacrificial love and what it means to be bonded in the sacrament of matrimony, where God is the center of it, and that self-giving love that he expressed on the crucifix is what it's all about. So yeah. Those are some of the thoughts that have been coming to my mind as I've been listening and sort of added to some of my original thoughts. So I apologize for rambling on, but I believe fundamentally that love is willing the good of the other, necessarily sometimes at the expense of the self.
Right. That is a fantastic, what a profound take, Ray. Thank you. What wisdom. You've obviously pondered this, meditated, and certainly prayed about this, and so thank you for sharing that. And I think it gets at the heart of our conversation here today, Debbie, because one of the things we mentioned early in the show is, you know, love must seek the good of the other, mm-hmm. or it's not really authentic love. And we have so many expressions that people think are love today, different kinds of relationships and, you know, unions and, you know, things that are called marriages that aren't, and behaviors and lifestyles and all of this stuff that people think, well, you know, if I love the person, I really have to just kind of let them do that. But you have to see the bigger picture and see what their ultimate good is. And if we're acting in a way that is not consistent with our ultimate good, somebody needs to gently and charitably but truthfully tell us that. And we need to be able to tell other people that as well. But I think we've largely lost that in the world today because of a confused notion of what love is.
And the PC culture, just always, you know, don't ever say anything, don't speak up, because you always want to just be accepted, and it's not, I mean, that's, to me, that's not true love. Ray, I think what you have to say was so incredible. As a matter of fact, I actually texted that over to Jerry. I'm writing so fast, I couldn't pick everything up that you said. It's fabulous. I just so appreciate you calling in and imparting what your experience has been in the ministry that you do and how you live your life. I think it's fabulous. Thank you for that. Wow. Another great call, and I just wanted to share real quickly, Jerry, if I can, before we go back to more great calls, just about EWTN. We're talking about being formed in the faith. I mean, that's what Catholic radio is all about. It's to form us in the faith, and EWTN has just great resources for us, and I just want to highlight one of them so that maybe you can go pick it up today at EWTNRC.com. EWTNRC.com. It's Mother Angelica's Guide to Practical Holiness. You want to learn about love? You got to go to Mother Angelica. Mother Angelica's Guide to Practical Holiness. And it's essential reading for every Catholic who is seeking holiness, especially during difficult times. And we talked about difficult situations, loving people that are difficult. This can all relate. It's a collection. It contains 8 mini books authored by Mother Angelica. And it includes Holiness in a Nutshell, 2 Wills, His and Mine, Holiness in Action. Please pick it up at EWTNRC.com.
Okay. Yep. We're going to go back to the calls. Yeah, Mary in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening on the Lamb Catholic Radio. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
Okay, thank you. I'm new to your show. I've only been listening for the last couple weeks. I'm also a new Catholic. I will have my one-year anniversary this Easter.
Praise God.
Excited about that. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very wonderful journey, and the beauty of the Eucharist can't be touched anywhere on earth for me. I come from a Christian background. I was listening. I got in my car and turned you on. And the woman was talking about self-love and how people are so caught up in it, and they just need to look to Jesus and look outside themselves and not get so caught up in trying to figure things out in their life. And those kind of statements concern me, because there's hurt people out there, really hurt. And to do a blanket statement like that to negate the Catholic Charities, which is everywhere in the United States, promotes counseling, promotes people who are hurting, and that's a sign of loving, is them reaching out, Catholic counselors reaching out to other Catholics to help the wounded areas in their life. And I was left feeling pretty raw that she would just blanketly put it on Protestants. I come from a Protestant background. I know the pitfalls, but I don't think that's appropriate. I don't like when people put Catholics down while we decide to dump everything on the, you know, that it's come out of them. It's come out of life, and people hurt, and bad things happen.
Right, some really hard tragedies,
and to just negate them, I'm sorry.
Mary, we're going to run out of time, but I just wanted to share, and you can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. But Mary, that was Eileen you were referring to, that when she called in and was sharing about this idea of focusing on self. And I hope you heard our responses, because we were talking about how you have to have a healthy sense of self-love and to fill that in order to be better out there in the world, to give of your excesses. And so Mary, I hope you heard the response we gave, but here's the thing. We allow everybody to speak their mind about things, because it allows us to shape the conversation. We don't necessarily agree with everything. And of course, if it's anything against church teaching, we're definitely going to speak up about it. However, we do let people voice their concerns about things. So just like you did, because I hope Eileen is still listening, because then she could hear how it did hurt you because you came from a Protestant background. And hopefully we could all learn and grow from this. But Mary, first and foremost, I need to say to you, welcome home. Wow. Congratulations on embracing the faith. And I say this from my heart to yours. I just love your passion for the Catholic faith, and I hope it inspires others. Jerry?
Well, I love your love of the Eucharist too, Mary, and
yes.
Congratulations on 1 year coming up here this Easter of coming into the Catholic Church. We'll keep you in our prayers, and I would just simply say, Mary, please keep listening. You say you've been listening for a couple weeks, and you will hear on this show, Debbie and I, we share the ugliness and the messiness of our own lives, and we understand what you're saying. That's why we do the Stand Tall retreats and that whole movement, is to help us all shed the wounds, the baggage, the traumas, the junk, because it is true, Mary, you're absolutely right. There are a lot of hurting, broken people
yes.
in the world, and we simply want people to be able to stand tall before God, knowing who they are made in His image and likeness. So thank you so much, Mary. Appreciate that. Melody, Joseph, Alina, all of the others, Debbie, it happens every day at this time.
It sure does, and this is, we don't like to leave you hanging, but you can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. Remind me, Jerry, what's tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow, you got me on that one.
It's Remind Me. That's the title of our show.
we're going to talk about memory tomorrow. We've got so many electronic ways of reminding ourselves of things. How is your memory? Do you remember things pretty well? Have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll talk about that tomorrow.